You tune into the Freshest Podcast. I'm your host, Malik G. Per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. Introduce yourselves.
What's up, William Magwin Miles?
One and only, DJ Livy OG.
And we are back with another episode. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Oh, it's been a while. I can't complain at all.
I can. I don't know who give a god. Mm-mm, damn.
I mean, I feel like everyone can complain. You just choose not to. Doesn't do anything.
Man, does it.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels good, though, when you vent.
You complain. Nah,
depends who you vent to. You got to find like the right person.
Right here.
Because I don't know. You get the people. You get like the problem solvers, which are like you don't like them because it's not like you're really looking for answers.
Right. You just feel like talking about it.
Yeah, and then you also don't like complaining to the opposite side of the spectrum where it's like you feel like you're bothering them with your problems.
Right.
You know, I kind of feel bad because I feel like I fall on like both sides as like the person receiving the complaints.
Right.
Like, I feel like I'm a terrible person to complain to.
Right.
So I feel like either I feel bad that I can't help you, so I'm trying to provide a solution. But then there's sometimes I don't have anything to say. Right. And I don't...
But it's that's okay.
No, but it's not even like I feel good just, like, listening. Like, I'm a good listener. Right. But the way that I let people know I'm listening is bad.
Right.
So the way, like, I'm just, But to some people, that's like, oh, he's not interested,
right?
You know, because I'm not contributing to the complaining,
right?
So like, I feel like I fall in a messed up cat, like a bad category,
right? It depends on what mood you catch me in. Some days I might be, you know, the optimistic guy. I usually am, and try to give you some optimism. And those are days where I'm just like, let's hurry up this conversation along because I got other things I got to do.
Oh, I also don't like people that complain. You can't complain every day,
right?
You get like once a week per person. That's like if you are the person that's constantly like.
Every day,
like that's
something new to complain about.
It's exhausting,
right?
And it's just like, all right, at what point do you want me to solve your fucking problems? You keep.
Maybe it's you. Maybe it's just you. Like maybe
that's what you got to recognize. Most of the time, it's not about solving the problem. It's about an ear to listen to what the person is talking about. You know, maybe interject and give some perspective. But for the most part, it's not about solving the problem.
Right? No, but what I'm saying, it can feel that way sometimes. It's like. When someone's constantly complaining just to you exclusively, it's like, all right, what do you... Especially if it's, like, about the same exact... Like, someone that comes in every day and it's, like, complaining about their job. It's like,
right.
I can't... Like, if I could give you... Or not having enough money. It's like, if I could give you more money,
right.
I could give you another job, I would, but I
right.
can't.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need a complaint schedule. You need, like, all right, Monday I'm going to complain about life, my mom, Tuesday dad, Wednesday girlfriend, Thursday...
schedule to
a week. Yeah, Thursday your boy, and then, you know, Friday you take a day off and you just shut up.
And you start again next week?
Yeah, you start up next week.
Okay.
I think because you exhaust people.
Right. I don't know. I
don't know if you got to go to that extreme.
I wake up every morning.
It depends but it also depends how many complaints you have. Like how much you're complaining.
I wake up every morning and I list the things I'm grateful for to remind me of that I could probably have a lot worse. You know, like what I do is basically the less extreme version of the Fight Club. Remember when Edward Norton's character would go to the port groups to remind himself how bad. You know, how bad other people got it. We're like, oh, I could go to bed. What am I worried about? I don't have cancer.
When he went to the cancer groups?
Right. I have both my testicles.
Unfortunately, I bought that movie, and I bought, like, a special edition of it. It was nice, and it had...
It's messed up now.
Books and all kind of shit. You know what I mean? At the time, Kayla was maybe a couple months old.
Right.
I don't know how she got her hands on it. The babysitter allowed her to, and she just destroyed it, scraped it all over the floor.
That's another movie that won't work.
Oh, no.
I mean, like, she must have, like...
I had to watch it on Netflix. Like, I couldn't even watch it.
I saw... the unfortunate part is,
right.
I bought the movie. I had intentions of watching the whole thing. I put it in one night, right, when it was fresh and brand new. I saw like maybe two scenes of it. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why are they beating each other up?
That's not even the weirdest part of the movie.
I know. Right. It just felt real weird.
Right.
I'm like, I got to get back to this.
Right.
Never got back to it because, like I said, the babysitter was watching how she got her hands on it. And how she mopped the floor with it, I'll never know.
It skips scenes. I've tried watching it.
It was totally destroyed.
Right.
She destroyed it.
Oh, when I tried watching it, it played, but then the movie would skip. And it would like literally skip scenes. It jumped you from the beginning to the middle
of
the movie.
That's because she was mopping the floor with the DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, so much for Fight Club.
Right, but you know, just like...
You should get around watching it, though.
Huh?
Yeah,
you should watch it. But just like the main character who was going to different support groups to, you know, remember that life isn't so bad. I write stuff I'm grateful for every morning to remind myself I got it pretty good compared to most people.
Oh, I do the unhealthy thing and just repress all my emotions until I eventually implode.
So. I might have to try your method.
It works.
You know? If I can remind me of everything that's good, you know, I may not focus in on the fucking the idiots that I deal with.
Dumb I'm telling you, you have to do it. It's the only way to not go crazy.
You know, I'm usually good, man. I'm usually good. Lately, I've had a couple of bouts. I'm like, why the fuck am I... You know, why are these people in my life?
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? They got to go.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. When the shit goes, it's like, yo, what the hell? Nah, they got to go.
Right.
I'm usually good. I'm usually even keel all the way, you know, whatever.
And some people push you there.
Lately, I've had a couple of bouts just this month. Right. You know, she's been like, what the fuck? Really? Really?
It's the beginning of 2020 has been really something so far.
I think so. I think there's something with 2020.
Like, this is the direction we're going.
Huh?
Mercury in retrograde?
Is that what it is?
I'm not even sure at this point. I haven't been paying attention to it.
I thought that shit was a makeup.
We talked about that ad nauseum.
Right? Like,
No. There is a makeup called that. You know that, right?
Mercury in retrograde?
Oh, like Sephora makeup. Yeah. I'm saying, like, it's made up.
Yeah, no. Sephora makeup.
Oh, I believe
it's possible.
Hello. Yes, it is.
I'm not sure what's going on with this year, but so far, back to back, it's just been traumatizing beginning of the year so far.
Think about the start of the year, all right? We talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
3 days in, war.
Right. Yeah, we thought it would be impeachment.
Impeachment.
But you know what? I won't even say that. I think more it's our news cycle that brings that stuff up. You know,
this is things that's happened, Lee. No, it is news.
But what I'm saying is, it's like, that war thing came up, and that lasted for about a week. So in my mind, I'm not even counting that. You know, that had no...
real effects.
That had no residual effects that are reverberating throughout the year. You know, unless we...
How do you know it doesn't come back into it?
People really feel like we're at the end of the year already.
Yeah. Listen, it can easily go south with that shit. Y'all niggas bombed us.
Right.
We didn't forget.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we're just laying low.
Right. We're just
laying low. Next thing you know, hey. You know,
we counted the days.
But what I'm saying is that comes in, it came in, and then it left just as quickly as it came in. Due to the way our news cycle is. So it's not even like, when I say like, I'm not saying that it's not going to have any repercussions.
Oh, okay. I got you wrong.
But what I'm saying is, you don't, it's not like it's still, like you're not still feeling that. We've kind of moved on from that. Now, there's other things that...
I'm not convinced of that.
A lot. Speaking for the mat, not speaking for you, the individual, but speaking for, you know, what comes on my news feed and timelines and all that other stuff.
And they're talking about it right now.
Yeah, that stuff is gone. In comparison to like the Kobe event, where it's like Kobe passing, that is still, you know.
That's because Kobe hasn't been laid to rest yet.
Well, that as well. But you know, like even 4 weeks, almost a month removed, you still feel that. That's still like I was talking about that yesterday. I'm like, I still like that still hurts. You know, and like seeing it on, like it's still everywhere. You know what I mean? And yes, because of that. But you know, like that. But that's also, you know, with Michael Jackson. You know, like when that's like a monumental piece of like history already being driven in, immediate consequences and repercussions being felt immediately that haven't like resurfaced. Like they're still surfaced within this, which actually is making things feel longer.
Right.
Like I'm just saying, like in an event like that. For that to start 2020 off, like to me, that was the thing that, like, damn, like that really kicked us off on the shit thing.
What I'm saying is,
when you think about the war thing, that was day three.
As soon as we got in,
and that sets the cycle for saying, like, what the fuck is going on?
Right. They got the coronavirus.
Hey, there we go. Right. You know, a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
In less than 2 months, war, pandemic,
right?
You know, Kobe.
Back about celebrity deaths.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Tom doesn't, you know, take it easy just because it's the beginning of the year.
Right, apparently. He's just like,
I guess so.
And like, hey, y'all, get ready. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Stuff. Because if it wasn't that, it'd be something else. regardless. So
regardless, yeah, but it's like, you know, the stories that we've been getting back to back has been like very hard hitting. You're just like no soft punches. They're not holding back.
I don't know. Life is kind of like a crazy TV show. You ever watch one of those shows and it's like you just wish that for an episode they'd give
you. Are you playing with your drink?
I'm trying to get to my cherries.
They give you like a break time, like breathing room. Like every episode is something. Like this episode, Shorty gets pregnant. The next episode, someone's dying. The next episode, someone gets cancer.
Sounds like Power.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it's just like, damn. Can we just have an episode where like the characters are like breathing and they're just like, you know, like those episodes of Sopranos where it's like no one got killed and you're just like, oh, okay. This is you can inject some humor. There's still a little bit of drama, but you know everything is good.
It's a nice episode.
Yeah, it's a nice episode. You get a nice reprieve. You're not really getting that anymore.
That's not life.
Yeah.
Really, it's not like that.
But anyway, it's always going to be something. Like, because look at the shit that we consider news now. Like, the thing that's upsetting me most is, like, the fact that why is D-Wade's parenting style news? Why is what D-Wade is deciding to do with raise his child?
Why I think it's news? I think it's news because he interjected it. He should have kept that shit to himself. You know, this is personal business.
But you know, but at this, and it's, see, and then in the same breath, I also want to say, we allow that to be, because honestly, like, even if D-Wade wants to go on Ellen or whatever, or speak on, you know, his child's choices or his identity or whatever the matter, or the way he parents his child, we can also just look at it and be like, okay.
No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Next.
That's no.
Like, the fact that that's not going to happen. The fact that that's like a head, like, why is that a headline?
That's not going to happen.
You know?
You know why it's a headline? Because it's Dwayne Wade, and you're talking about, you know, a touchy subject. It's touchy. The fact that Bootsy felt like he had to speak on it tells you how touchy it is.
Well, no, I think people feel like they need to touch on everything.
Well, that too.
I think that's right.
No, but certain things are gonna strike a chord harder. You know, raise the rector a little bit higher. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're going to have people coming out of left field and interjecting. Let's not forget the Gayle King.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Automatic. That's an automatic. You know, it raises the level of that thing higher.
As soon as that conversation came out.
Boom.
Everybody.
Boom. And the same thing with D-Wade. You know, had he not...
I know. I think... So the way things used to be back in the day was...
Once again, 2020, how did we get that much shit in 2 months?
Right. Well, no, it's because of the stuff that people deem newsworthy now. You know, back in the day, you used to sit in a newsroom and a group of journalists and whoever would sit around a table and their editor would go, all right, breaking news, what do we need to roll out next week?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for me? And back in the day, someone would raise their hand and be like, oh, D-Wade's son is identifying... is transgender now.
Not news.
And someone would be like, and the editor would be like, that's not news. Next, please. And that was the control of our news cycle. Mm. But no longer are editors and journalists in charge of the news cycle. We are. Like,
we are.
People. Because we all now have become personalized journalists. So, like, now everything is newsworthy. Really? That's why you kind of feel like you don't get a break anymore. Because we make anything fucking news.
Recently, I went to...
Because everything is sensationalized.
Recently, I went to Atlanta, and I went to visit CNN. And they have a room where all the journalists, all the reporters are. And they have pretty much a whole bunch of computers and TV set up. You know, TV on Fox News, you know, CSNBC... You know, computers on, you know...
So they're monitoring everything.
They're watching every news, and you know, because they don't know what's going to happen next. Breaking news can happen at any moment, and, you know, they want to be to catch it right after the next man catch it, you know?
But everything is breaking news now. Like, that shit... That's the annoying... Remember when breaking news used to be breaking news?
Mm-hmm.
Someone died. There was a terrorist attack. There was a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now it feels like all of a sudden there's breaking news every day just because it has to be.
When Pop Smoke was killed, immediately I heard it from everybody. Like, I was in nowhere, everywhere I walked.
But you know what, that constitutes breaking news. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a name, he's a very popular name in hip-hop right now. So him passing away at 20 years old, that's news. That's like, okay, whoa, wait, what?
Right.
All right, we got to get that out to the people that needs to be known.
That's traumatic.
That's a traumatic
same way news Kobe.
The same way as the passing of Kobe. And that's what I was... Breaking news used to be reserved for certain things. You know, like... Or even, like, even in a neighborhood. Like, if the apartment complex down on 64th and Lexington is on fire or something. Mm. We need to let people know that. It's just like... Now we're talking about breaking news is like two celebrities getting divorced.
Right.
Huh?
Well, it depends on the celebrities.
But still, huh? Like two
people getting divorced. Beyonce breaks up. Yeah, is that not news?
Hey, no, it's news, but what I'm saying.
If it's not Jay-Z and Beyonce, it's not news.
No?
No.
I don't know about that.
Nah, that's not true. Brad Pitt, Angelina breaking up was breaking news.
Nicki Minaj and Meek Mills, that's news. They broke up. That's news. People want to know that.
Breaking news, pending news. Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill are going back and forth on Twitter. Huh? That, like.
Well, that's Twitter news.
Like, look at this shit we point our attention to, we play into.
Right.
The fight that they had at the store.
Check this out. I just got breaking news on my phone right now from Breakfast Club. Kahoney accuses YG of clout chasing in breakup single Valentine's Day. Quote unquote, and to put in parentheses, shameful.
My case in point. Why? Why do we care?
Why do I need that notification, Breakfast Club?
Yeah, I guess.
I could have heard about that shit on Monday.
Right? I didn't need that update right now at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening.
But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But anyway, let's get back to it because I brought up Boosie. Yeah, Boosie's landed himself in trouble ever since, you know, he made a video. Disagreeing with D-Wade's decision to support, which was just misguided because Boosie don't even know what he's talking about. No. Boosie sounded like he caught wind of what happened, via telephone, like the game telephone. Like someone was like, "Oh, he's getting a sex change. He's identifying as a girl, and oh, he's a or she's a da da da." And then somehow, by the time it made it 30 people down, Boosie's like, "Oh, she's getting sex change surgery." And it's like, Boosie, no one even said that.
Yo, what I like about that's his passion. He's passionate about that. Right? Yeah. He is totally.
He's crying. Passionate. But you know what it is? It's probably because he's been watching these kids grow up, you know, because it's not like this is the first time we've seen Dwayne Wade's kids. You know, there was a couple years ago, remember when Dwayne Wade was like on poolside with his son, and his son was talking about like, you know, yeah, I was looking at that girl over there. And he's like, what you know about talking about girls?
I missed that.
You don't remember that clip? The whole clip.
But see, regardless, that's D Wade's kid. That's not your kid. So where the fuck is your? What the fuck are you so passionate about over what's going on in his son's life, or daughter's life?
If that's the decision they made,
let them do them.
Let them rock.
Yeah, I don't care why are you even that involved in someone else's child. You know, I could see if that's your nephew or something. But you know what? Like to counter that. If it was someone that you really felt that close to, you would pick up the phone and call that person. You wouldn't be on Facebook Live or Instagram Live.
Come on, man. Don't cut off his dick, man.
I just find people are getting upset. I'm like, that's just funny. Because you don't even know what he's... How are you mad at somebody that don't know what they're talking about?
But don't treat him like a female, dog. Don't address him like a woman, dog.
He might fall in love when he's 16.
That was the funny part. It's like, you might fall in love when you're not going to have a dick no more. Oh, Boosie.
That was something to kick him out of Planet Fitness. I don't think you should kick him out of Planet Fitness for that.
But that was the.
And I'm not stopping going to play the fitness.
But you know, everyone thinks that they're a social justice warrior. Everyone thinks that they can just pass sentencing on other people. That's all that was. That was the manager.
That's a very good point.
That was the manager. That's not Planet Fitness. Like, oh, we're banning
Boosie. Yeah, that wasn't
Planet Fitness. Right. Don't give a shit where Boosie do.
If Boosie pays his membership,
as long as Boosie pays his $10 a month, he can work out here no matter what his views are. Someone, the manager of Planet Fitness or whoever's working the front desk that scanned you in, they saw Boosie and they was like, nah, I didn't like that, so I'm going to now put that off. Which you cannot do. You can't do that.
Well, according to Boosie, he's gay.
Right.
What, the guy?
Guy who banned
him. No, what I'm telling you, that's the same, like, I don't support Trump or anything, but I don't support the notion that if someone comes into McDonald's wearing a Make America Great Again hat, you don't serve them. You refuse service to them. That's not your place. That you flip burgers.
First of all, McDonald's will fire your ass. you refuse to serve burgers. That happened. You don't own the corporation.
You had, I think...
See, when you own the corporation, you could do that type of shit.
Yeah.
You know?
But if McDonald's is not making that call, who the fuck are you to be making that call? Regardless. There was a... there's a perfect episode of Grey's Anatomy that where that happens. The black doctor has to perform surgery on this white supremacist. He's got the swastika on her on his chest and everything.
Really?
And he's like, okay. I do not want this black bitch operating on me. And he's hateful.
The character says this.
Yeah, this is the guy that he needs the surgery or he's going to die. And the black woman is like, I'm a doctor first. You disgust me as like, but at the end of the day, I got to do my job. I have to save your life.
No, that's TV.
No,
that's TV. That nigga's not getting my best shit.
Right.
You know, I'd be like, oops, I forgot the scope.
You would not be. You wouldn't be a doctor
oops.
Anymore.
You'd be like, oops, you know what?
You're saying that.
We didn't get the
you're,
proper.
You're saying that. You wouldn't be a doctor.
We didn't get the proper things on the chart. Somehow he passed.
Well, no, she hasn't.
She ends up
saving his life, but she messes up his swastika tattoo. So like he's kind of pissed off about that.
Yeah, that's TV. Perfect television.
A doctor? No, I still don't think a doctor is going to kill someone.
Right. Listen, I was watching this thing last night on Netflix.
What thing?
It's called The Pharmacist.
Okay, what's that about?
And it's about this guy who's lives in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a father. He raised a son or whatever. Anyway, the son gets hooked up. Gets hooked on crack.
Okay.
And he goes to the Ninth Ward, which is like a seedy, hood place, whatever, right, to buy his drugs. Anyway, he ends up dead. And the family is just like broken up, whatever. But, he can't get past it.
Right.
He wants to find the killer of his son.
Right.
And, through his investigation and through not giving up, right, he winds up finding out that.
Right.
But then it gets even deeper because he's, noticing at his job how, all these prescribed opiates is becoming like crazy and people are dying all over the place.
Right.
Come to find out, it's this one doctor, getting back to your ethical oath. So this doctor is like a pill mill. She's pushing drugs.
Right,
I mean, just like, yeah, I mean, if people are lying.
That's one doctor.
Well, no, you were talking about doctors.
I'm saying the majority of doctors have ethical standards that they will save.
And
it's one thing.
No, it wasn't just one doctor. It became an epidemic. It wasn't just one doctor. So you had a bunch of doctors. You still in today.
So you're telling me there's a bunch of doctors out there that will kill patients because they don't agree with their political views?
No, what I'm saying to you is that in regards to what I was just speaking about, there's a bunch of doctors that fuck the ethics, the goddamn money. You know what I mean? We'll prescribe this shit all day.
I'm not talking about money.
I
was just trying to pay it.
You know what I mean? We'll prescribe it all day and just go sell it. Make more money. Now, hey,
That has nothing to do with killing someone.
You know how many people died?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I'm not going to perform surgery and save this person's life.
No, you kill more people this way than I'm talking about. Imagine.
I'm talking about. You're talking about something completely different than what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about. There's a Nazi laid across my surgical table right now. I'm going to take it upon myself to perform intentional malpractice and kill him.
No, I just forgot something. I didn't kill him.
Oh,
God. You know what I mean? I just forgot something. Yeah. It's not like stab. Oh, yeah, this Nazi's out of here.
But he purposefully.
I forgot something. And all of a sudden, the meters went red. Beep.
All right. Look, I don't think
especially him talking crazy to me on top of it, right? Nigga, you laying in my bed. I mean, you know what I mean? Under my care. You better watch that. That's like going to your restaurant and you talking down to your chef or your waitress.
Some spit in your soup is completely different compared to
dying. Stomach.
Try a roach. You know what I mean? Try a roach. You ever find roach in your soup? I did.
Try a roach in your
soup. Yeah.
Doctors are not like, I disagree with this person. This person was rude to me. I'm going to kill someone. That's what I'm talking about.
You never know what you come across. Just be careful how you talk to people.
Their rib because he's talking shit about my president.
and don't, if someone's wearing a red hat, you can't be like, oh, I'm not going to serve you. Nah, don't fuck with you. Here's your quarter pound to be on your way.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
if you like your job, you definitely
like do. The person at Planet Fitness. I'm not saying you have to agree with Boosie. Let that man go in and get his workout. You don't gotta be. Oh, what's up, Boosie? Nah, right. You gotta do all that. Boosie.
Obviously, this person has some form of authority in this place,
right?
To be able to ban him.
You just gotta be the working manager,
right? That's
you just gotta be a working manager.
Yeah, that's authority.
That's what I'm saying. So like,
it's the manager, and for it to fly. Because at the end of the day, if he goes to the higher chains in the corp, mm-hmm. Why was I banned? Because I made a comment?
Right.
You know what I mean? Against Dwayne Wade? Yo, how many times does Dwayne come in here?
Maybe that's Dwayne's spot.
Dwayne probably got Equinox or something. He's not going to Planet Fitness.
But, I don't agree with, dealing out punishment to people. I don't care who you are. Like, it's not my job to do that.
I agree. I agree.
I've worked places and, people have even been the nicest, or I'm going to refuse service to you. I'm not in that position.
Daisy Wade got a documentary coming out, actually, tonight on ESPN. Well, for you guys, it'll be yesterday, but tonight, for us, on ESPN, he has a documentary.
It's about his basketball career.
D Wade, Life Unexpected, is the name of the documentary. Produced by Brian Grazer.
He's doing some weird things. I'll tell you one thing. He's doing some weird things in his post retirement.
I think he's got too much time.
He's doing some weird.
Right.
I like the Gatorade commercial with him and Gary O'Union. I think that's good. But he's got this record with Rick Ross. Did you hear a record with Rick Ross?
No,
I didn't hear.
Oh my God.
See, I think all that stuff is fine, but I think your family and all that, your personal business, that's off limits. If you don't come out and tell it. It doesn't get to this extreme,
Yeah.
Y'all live with that shit amongst y'all. You don't need to publicize it.
Right.
You don't need to put him out. He's 13, 12 years old. What right. Is he? 12.
He got his whole life.
Yeah.
Put that information out.
12.
Yeah. You don't. What's the point in outing him?
The news cycle. I tell you, the standard of what we deem newsworthy is lower now. So even if you have if you have the slightest bit of influence and you come out and say something, you're guaranteed to remain in that news cycle.
Right. Everything content now.
And look at the opportunities it does open up for you, Like he's got a documentary coming out. His name is now rotating. Who knows what opportunities that also additional.
So you're saying this represented dollars in some kind of way. So.
In some way, shape or form. Keeping your name out there, and especially because I don't
have a problem keeping your name out there. You're freaking Dwayne Wade.
But also, it's also not in the most negative of light either. This is to a lot of people, this is a positive thing to the LGBT community. They stand behind him. He's serving as an advocate. That's only positive publicity for him towards him. So why does he care?
You mean what does he care?
If he can take all the heat, then what? Which apparently he can. If he couldn't, then he wouldn't have.
Listen, go donate to some nice charity and do shit like that.
I agree with you. I'm just stating why D Wade is choosing to move the way D Wade's moving, because it's keeping his name out there. But anyway,
see that doesn't happen when you don't retire.
I guess post retirement is really difficult. But
he must be bored.
I saw they was tearing up Mike Bloomberg at the Democratic debate. Elizabeth Warren was letting him have it. It's like, remember when you was calling women ugly bitches and commenting on their looks and calling them fat cows and all of this? And Bloomberg was just like,
I don't think Bloomberg handles himself that well.
Yeah, it was bad.
Not on the debate stage.
Yeah. Well, because I haven't even heard him come at anyone else. And that's the thing, because Charlamagne was actually making a good point about politics, and his reason for not liking politics, same reason I don't like politics, because everyone on the stage is dirty. Everyone on the stage has a past. So they all, it's just this round and round of hypocrisy, where they're all just speaking on each other's faults anyway. But they all live in cracked glass houses anyway. They're all throwing stones in glass houses.
So you're it's like they're all guilty of doing something.
Of something. Right. All of them. Like, he's got to stop and frisk. Elizabeth Warren probably did something back in the day.
You
got to
find what she did,
though. Yeah, I don't know what she did, but I'm sure she did. I'm sure she wore blackface or something at some point.
Okay, we'll find it.
They'll find it. But yeah, they were just letting him have it. And I kind of felt bad for him because it was like he was the new kid at the lunch table and they just had to like cut his ass. They had to just jump on it. Because everything was like, oh, nah, what? Fuck you and your TV spots, Bloomberg. Right. Yeah, what about this? What about stop and frisk?
The thing with it is because he's spending so much money on
the TV. It's like unprecedented how much money he's spending on
he's
TV.
He's already spent like over like $200-300 million already.
Like more than
he's only worth like $60 billion or some shit like
that. But it's just like you really think his money's gonna buy his way into presidency though. That's what it is.
It might. It'll definitely buy him the Democratic nomination.
That's like true. On Twitter, I've been seeing like where somebody would say something about Bloomberg and be like, oh, Bloomberg, you know, spent this much money on this. You know, like there was the thing where Bloomberg went to Subway. They was like, yeah, I love Subway sandwiches. And someone was like, hey, we just looked at your tax returns. We see you spent a lot of money at this and this and that for food. Subways, it's not on that list. It's $0 for Subways. And then you'll see a whole bunch of comments from different people all saying, but what if he paid for it out of his own pocket? Hashtag Bloomberg is for the people. Bloomberg is the people. And it's like,
can I tell you something? Bloomberg ain't never gave a fuck about regular folks.
Right.
When he was raising Subway
fares,
mm-hmm. bridge tolls, and all that stuff, never took us into consideration. Right. This damn ass is rich. Right. He never rode a goddamn Subway. Right. Does he know how some people struggle just to get from point A to point B?
Wasn't he born middle class? He wasn't born with a silver spoon.
No, he wasn't, but he forgot.
Damn sure. Well, the money went into reinvigorating New York.
Yo, no, it went into
infrastructure, didn't it?
Stick it to the folks, right? Stick it to the common folk who can't afford, you know? It's who's having a tough enough time to get to work, and now your fare doubles.
Right.
All right?
Hey, I'm currently suffering from these fare hikes, so...
On top of that, leave it to the common dude standing in front of his own building, now being harassed by the cops.
Right.
Yo, do you belong here?
Yeah.
Nigga, I live here! You know what I mean?
That's his biggest thing that he's answering for is to stop and frisk. Because it's like, yo, are you going to do that again on a nationwide scale?
Claim like, yo, I didn't know it was hurting motherfuckers. Damn right you did. You're living in Gracie Mansion.
Right.
When the last time you
were stopping and frisk.
Yeah, exactly. When the last time you were hanging out in front of your local bodega.
Right.
And thrown against a cop car.
Right.
All right?
Yeah,
you got too much melon.
Right. And melon right now... Bloomberg really acts like he's always been for the black community. Like, we're going to make things different for the black community.
Right.
Like, we're for the black community. Black community has been disenfranchised for too long. We're going to change that. Like, who? You? You're going to change that? Okay, Bloomberg.
Don't buy it.
All right, Bloomberg.
Don't buy it.
Okay, Bloomberg.
Don't buy it.
Yeah.
Don't buy it. That's like Trump. I'm the best thing that ever happened to you guys.
Right? Right, it's just a battle of the lesser evil. It's like, you know,
the best thing you guys ever had. Yeah. What else you got? And then the disrespect you on top of it. What else you got? You know,
I'm all you have.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but I just wanted to bring that up because I saw them killing him, and I was like, oh god.
Yeah, thank you for interjecting politics.
Damn, Mikey.
Here's a good segue to bring in this topic of politics. Donald Trump was talking a lot of mess about Parasite winning a Best Picture at the Academy Awards. He's like, how are we going to let South Korea have Best Picture of, you know, one of the grand American awards that there is?
That's what that was.
Right.
It's the movie...
It's a South Korea film.
It's
technically a black comedy, but it's a genre-bending film. It's a little... There's drama, there's comedy, there's suspense. It's a very genre-bending film. And I, for one, really enjoyed the film. I was... procrastinating on the film until I saw it win the Academy Awards, and then I saw it in theaters, and I was like, oh no, it makes sense. It makes sense why it won.
Can I ask you a question?
What's
the whole movie in subtitles?
Yes.
I can't fuck with it.
Why?
I can't sit through a movie. I can't understand what the hell they're talking about.
You can read.
I ain't got time to read. If I was going to read, I'd read a book.
You got time to watch a movie. You got time to read the subtitles.
I would read a book. I'm going to the movies, dog. I'm going to the movies. I want to hear and see and understand and comprehend. I don't want to take the time like, okay, I missed this, I missed that. You know, I look, I put my head down in my popcorn, and I missed, like...
Look, I saw Parasite in theaters. I bought it at home video the exact same week, because it was already on DVD by the time I saw it. And I literally almost forgot I saw it in a different language. Like, I watched it, I started watching it at home, and I was like, oh shit, I forgot how to read the subtitles in theaters.
Can I ask you a question? Why don't they do like they do the Chinese movies?
What, with the dubs?
Dub it.
They can, but that's...
They can. You just say the magic word there is they can.
Right.
So I shouldn't have to read.
Yeah, but the director don't give a fuck about if you want to if you don't want to read. He's just like you,
American. No, the movie's coming to America, right?
Uh huh.
All right, make it American. The same, yeah. Same when the Chinese movies come here, they make them shits American. You know? But they're not gonna ask you to read Chinese.
Read? Yes, they do have subtitles over there.
Yeah, no.
Some movies have to read subtitles.
Listen, some of my favorite kung fu movies are always in English.
Bro, I've been to the movies overseas.
They were all in English.
I'll tell you, I've seen a couple movies overseas. The movies will be in English with subtitles on the bottom. I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah, they do that.
No, but they're still spoken in English.
Right, but they don't speak English in that country. That's what it's saying. So
what he's saying is, like, if you go to China and go watch Avengers, the movie will be in English, but they'll have Chinese subtitles.
So they're duking them over there.
Yeah.
They should be like, yo, fuck you, America. Fuck you, Americans. Send me movie with in Chinese.
Well, when you want to see something, it's not about all the languages in. And the thing that made Parasite so powerful, it's not about just about the dialogue speaking, once you get past the dialogue not in English, just the visual of the, visual storytelling is what really takes over.
You're telling me it's like a beautiful movie.
It's a beautiful picture. Like it's so universal, you don't have to be Korean to get it. Like you could be from anywhere around the world and still get what they're talking about and still get the message and still get the dynamic between, because the whole film is about, class warfare, class struggle. You know what I mean? It's about the rich, the middle class, and the poor. The relationship between each, and who is the parasite in between the relationship between the rich, the poor, and the low income.
People die?
Yes, somebody does. Well, yes, people do die. Yeah, people do die at the end. And I don't want to spoil the movie because the movie starts off one way and ends another way. I get to explain to you what the movie is. So the movie basically is about this poor family called the Kims, right? The son gets a job to tutor this rich girl, teach her English or whatever, and he realized, oh, her family's gullible, so I'm just gonna invite my family up in here one by one. So he convinces the mother, hey, your son is good at art. Maybe I should give him, you should give him an art teacher to help him work with the art. So he brings his sister up there. His sister pretends to be somebody else, not related to him, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm a speech and art therapist, and that.
And you got this, all this.
You get all this without even, you just read the subtitles. You see it.
Too much work.
It's not work.
That's a lot of work.
It's not. It really isn't. It really isn't. It's like rewatching. It's like watching Eve with the captions on. That's all.
No, at least when you watch
it. The way it's shot visually, if you stop reading the words, you can still understand what's going on just by looking at the body language or the camera setup of what's going on.
I'm gonna take you up on this. I'm going to try 30 minutes. I'm giving it 30 minutes.
And I tell you, in 30 minutes, you're going to be hooked.
I'm giving it 30 minutes.
You'll be hooked.
And I'm going to see if what you're saying is valid for me. Right. For me. See, I know you're a nut when it comes to fucking movies.
Yeah, because you don't go out for nothing.
you love fucking movies.
Yes,
you know
I do.
What I mean? You love movies, so you'll sit there. What was that you went to see Cats and enjoyed it?
Yeah,
you're about like 1% of the population would enjoy Cats.
Less than 1%.
I found it has some redeeming value in that.
Redeeming value.
I can find some stuff I can appreciate out of Cats. There's some things I can appreciate from that movie.
I saw your review. I'm like, he liked Cats.
I didn't hate it. It's just like, from being from the theater crowd, I found something that they would appreciate from it. Oh. But with Parasite, it's a masterclass of direction, if you ask me.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there's a reason why it won so many awards at the Academy Awards. Out of all the films that I thought would win Best Picture, I would never believe it's Parasite. And when I saw Parasite, I was like, I get it.
I think Oscar was just trying to we never give anything to anybody else.
Is the diversity thing?
Yeah, we never give anybody else best picture.
Let's give it to a foreign.
Yeah, foreign picture this year.
No, this is politically correct. I've seen every other picture that was nominated this year.
Same way they throw a bone every couple of years, every 30 years.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I saw The Irishman. I saw I didn't see Jojo Rabbit. I didn't think Jojo Rabbit was going to win Academy Awards anyway for Best Picture though.
How many of those were foreign films?
That's the only one.
I mean, there were other foreign films. I mean,
Best Picture. Actors.
Oh, for Best Picture only is Parasite. But Parasite was that great of a film though, because of the visual. Because that film focused more on visual film vocabulary. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Film has a vocabulary that's just image. You know, people always focus on special effects. You know, the dialogue. This one is like, you put it on mute and you just watch it. You know, this movie, you can still get what's going on. And you can understand the relationship and the difference between the class of people without a single word. You can understand. You know,
I'm giving it 30 minutes.
Well, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
I'm giving it 30.
I'm telling you. Watch.
Giving it 30.
I'm telling you. Within that 30 minutes, you'll be hooked.
And I'm going to come back and say, yo, you were right. Oh, you're out of your freaking mind.
I'm telling you, I walked out of that movie theater and have not stopped thinking about that movie since.
Really?
I'm telling you. I left that movie theater. A couple of hours later, I took my homegirl's daughter to go see Sonic because her birthday came around. And I'm sitting there at Sonic just upset because I'm just like, how did I leave something that was such a cinematic masterpiece like Parasite to come watch this 90-minute commercial that is Sonic? Like, I was totally blown away from Parasite. I was memorized. I was literally upset at Sonic that I was watching Sonic because it wasn't as good as Parasite. Parasite had a message where Sonic was just like, by Sega. Get what, you know?
Was there any black people in it?
It was. Parasite?
Yeah.
No, it was only South Koreans.
Hey, that's two strikes against it for me.
It's only South Koreans.
I'm just messing around.
There's no white people in it either.
I'm just messing around. Two strikes.
And my thing is, foreign films sometimes are more entertaining than American films. Because American films sometimes they get too cliche. We follow the same formula too many times. Where it's just like, it was a breath of fresh air. I don't know. That's just me. I watch a lot of foreign films. Like, I remember I watched this movie, which I won't go into too long. But in this movie, Ethan Hawke was going back in time to stop this bomber. And to make the long story short, he met with this woman who became a man and basically told this man that, like, I know how to stop the situation that made you become a man. And then she ended up going back in time and having sex with herself and then getting her face blown off, and then it turned out to be Ethan Hawke. So Ethan Hawke ended up having a sex change to go back in time to fuck himself, to make him a baby. And
too much work there, bro.
I'm telling you, bro. You gotta watch foreign films. Foreign films is
too much. If I gotta do that much deciphering, I might get lost.
Deciphering, that's the whole plot. It's called Predestination, people. Check it out. Australian movie. Basically what I'm saying, watch movies that didn't come out of America, and you might see some different stuff every once in a while.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Alright.
It's good to look at other movies.
Is that like foreign porn?
No, you don't see him actually fuck himself.
No. I'm asking a question. Do they do anything different there?
Wait, with foreign porn?
Yeah, no, I'm just fucking around. Where are we, sir?
Rest in peace to Pop Smoke. I mean, if we didn't speak about that. We kind of brought it up, but, you know, that was a shock on, I think, Tuesday.
It was.
He suddenly passed away in the early mornings. In Hollywood Hills, of all places, you know, a place where you relatively seen as a safe space.
Right.
Safe area.
About the same time he was...
Same time you were watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah.
Yep. And probably when that scene happened in the movie.
Yeah, it was probably
around the same time.
Yeah, I don't remember. Invasion. I don't remember when Sharon Tate's actual murder took place, but yeah, I was surprised, you know. Because I was talking about it with my boy yesterday, and I was like, we were saying how there's this misconception that you're always safest when you're at home.
Right.
Like when you're like in your neighborhood or whatever.
Unless you're black.
Yeah. But just in regards to just like people out to get you and all that stuff. But I was like, nah, I think the dangerous place that you are is when you're home in that neighborhood, when you're in the, and you're, because that's where all your enemies are from.
Right.
You know, like that's where you probably had your beefs and your disagreements with people or whatever. Mm. So you think like the place is like, someone's gonna try to get.
Depending on where you live.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, if you live in a suburb, but him coming from Canarsie, Brooklyn, you would think that okay,
this. If he's in the Canarsie projects, maybe.
That's where his enemies are. That's where the people are going to be trying to get him, because that's probably where his beef stemmed from, whether back from some street stuff or some gang shit or whatever. So for him to go all the way out to LA and be in the Hollywood Hills and for someone to come get him, that's even more like damn, someone was after him for that. You know what I mean?
Is that what it was? Was this somebody actually after him?
I don't personally know. I feel like all the circumstances surrounding what happened, surrounding the fact that, you know, it was 4 a.m. and someone broke into his house and shot him, that sounds targeted to me. You know, that sounds like someone knew where he was. I don't think that was a random break-in.
Right.
I think someone knew, yo, this kid's here or whatever, let's go get him. That's my own personal... based off the limited information that was presented.
For what reason, though?
I don't know.
So I'm just...
It doesn't add up. But that's why I'm saying, like...
In Hollywood Hills?
Somebody said that he posted his...
It's not like he's riding through some badass neighborhood and some gang members. Right. It's like, oh, let's roll up.
Well, from what I've heard, he posted a bit, one of his bags on social media, and his address was on one of those gift bags. And that's how they found where he lived. That's the story I've been told.
How long has he been out there?
Yeah, he wasn't out there that long, because it's not his house. He was renting. He was renting the house from someone. So I think he was. He might have been out there for a few days. I don't know.
There's another story about him owing money to somebody and somebody else to give the address to somebody.
Like I said, it doesn't sound like a random act of violence.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
Someone went in there and was like, oh, someone's just picking houses and they just happened to pick.
It could be. Look at the story here.
No, that was targeted.
I mean, granted,
Charles Manson. You talking about Sharon Tate's murder? Yeah. Charles Manson said, "Go kill her them," because he was looking for this move. Not to get into the history or whatever, but Charles Manson was looking for that music producer, and there was this theory that Charles Manson was trying to become a musician, and he was trying to get in with this music producer. The music producer denied him. And he felt embarrassed, so he went to go scope out his house or whatever to commit the murder. He found out that he wasn't there, so instead... Kill everyone. And that's what he told him. He said, kill everyone that's home. And at the time, that music producer had loaned the house out to Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate. Roman Polanski was off filming another movie, I think, in Europe, and Sharon and her friends were home. They knew that, and they sent them to go... That's why they broke into the house.
Okay.
So... And then, like I said, there's just also not enough details. I don't know if anything was actually taken from the home or anything like that. You know, because typically for a home invasion, outside of killing someone, you're trying to steal what you want or whatever, rob them.
Yeah, and then, get some jewelry.
Yeah, you get some jewelry, get some cash, and then you get out. And then things go wrong and people, unfortunately, end up dying or whatever.
Right.
But to me, I don't know. If there was nothing else taken from the house, it sounds like... They knew he was in there and went to go get him. Why? I don't know. Like I said, but that's due to the limited number of details. That's what's adding up in my head.
Sounds like with some real investigation, they should be able to target what the fuck happened. Right. You know what I mean? Because there's just too much shit that's far-fetched.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Can't just be no random home
invasion. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I watched movies about, there's one movie called The Bling Ring, about the girls that pretty much broke into the home of Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton, and they were just walking around, you know, the Hollywood Hills.
But they were born there, and they were wealthy kids.
Yeah.
They were just bored.
Right, they were the night hood dudes running around with guns, running up into cribs. They were just opening the door. It's like, oh, it's open! Let's walk in here.
But I'll tell you something else. You don't just walk up in those areas and, like, you know, because you don't know, you don't live there, you know, so you have to kind of know those areas to get up there and do what you know what I mean. It's not like, okay, you just go, yo, Pop Smoke's crib is right here, let's go get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to know the address, you got to know the turf, the whole nine.
Whether the security
how to get around it.
Whether the security rotation, like.
Whatever it is, it's not easy access.
Right.
It's not, you know, usually when you're talking about those type of neighborhoods, there's usually those mechanisms, you know, that they live by it, and you kind of have to know it. You know what I mean? You don't just roll up on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like, yo, you know what I'm saying, South Jamaica.
Right. You know everybody. You know everything that everybody just one question away.
Yeah. Or you could just roll up into somebody's driveway.
Right. Right off the highway.
Yeah. Boom. So something's up.
Rest in peace, Pop Smoke.
That's why I said with some real thorough investigation that they can solve that. That's if they want to. That's if they want to. You know?
Because they still don't know the killer, the Biggie and Tupac.
Oh, no, no. That's already been proven.
I watched recently a documentary on Netflix called Who Killed Malcolm X? And they just...
Oh, I love that. I saw that. But you know what? As well as he documented and told that story,
mm-hmm.
I think... If you watch the Spike Lee version of Malcolm X,
uh-huh.
it's very close.
Right.
Very, very close to detail.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like Spike Lee got it on the nail, how he shot the ending.
Huh?
He got it on the nail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He nailed it to the T.
But it just goes to show you that, you know, it would be your own people sometimes. You know, because that was like one of the guys that, he wasn't one of the guys Malcolm X trained, but, you know, he went to the mosque that Malcolm helped put together and organized, you know what I mean?
What, the Newark sector?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it made me think about, you know, Nipsey was in, you know, what was it, Compton, where he got killed? What was it?
Compton, yeah.
You know, and, you know, it was someone from around that way that killed him, you know what I mean? So when I'm looking at this whole thing with Pop Smoke, I'm just like, damn, it's always somebody within your community that really come at you at the end of the day.
Well, that's why I think, like, with some real detective work, you can always solve it, because it's always linked. You know what I mean? It's always linked to the source. Right. You know, so if there's some real detective work being done, you could find the missing links and go back to the story and find out what happened, who's responsible, who paid who, and, you know what I mean? Or what happened. It depends on how hard they want to go at it.
Right.
You know?
It was like that rapper who sent the guy to do the home invasion to his mother's crib, and then got her killed for the insurance money.
I don't think I heard about that one.
You hear about that one? There was a failed rapper who pretty much got his mom killed for the insurance money, and then he took the insurance money and was blowing the money out. Just going around throwing money at people.
He had his mother killed?
He had his mother killed for the insurance money. He sent some of his people over there. He did it to home invasion. They shot her boyfriend. They killed her. And then he ran around acting like he was making money from his record sales.
Yo, what's he trying to do? Like, get a speed pass to hell?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Of course, eventually, it didn't take long for the investigation to figure out that he was the one who got his mother killed for the insurance money. It's really because he was throwing them the insurance money at, you know, his quote-unquote fans. But there were no fans. They were just people who just want the money.
Sounds to me like he wanted to speed pass to hell.
Right. And he
killed your mother for insurance money?
Yep.
Wow.
To promote his hip-hop music.
Sounds like a Florida artist.
Very nice.
What? People in Florida be bugging.
Throw that man.
That in the Bronx.
Yeah, Florida and the Bronx. Need to nuke them both.
Throw in the water.
Really? Very nice.
Get, move all the nice and old people out.
Oh, I don't believe you just said that.
Get all the old people out. The nice people.
What about the children?
Children too.
Okay.
Some of them. Some others. The hood's
I don't believe you said that. We're just having some fun here. Please, right? Don't take that part seriously.
Floridians, I'm playing. but I guess in closing news, Paul Rosenberg stepped down as chairman of and CEO of Def Jam.
I wonder why.
I don't think Def Jam has been doing the best.
I wonder why.
You saying, is this sarcasm?
I wonder why. I wonder why.
Oh, I don't think Def Jam has been doing the best. I don't think that, for the exception of Justin Bieber and Kanye, who have they really put out that is like, what new artists have they really even put out?
Well, they have a huge roster. Let's not forget.
And how many of those artists are putting music out successfully?
I guess we'd have to pull up their roster, and then, you know, then we could go list word artist by artist.
In the time that I think he's taken the reins, Davies has come out.
There's more records being released, you know, than you might think.
But
didn't Jadakiss put out? Well, he's not a new artist, but
I'm mostly speaking to like new blood. Like, why haven't they put out any new artists?
They did.
Who?
None that I could think of.
And you got to think, name. All of the big acts right now are not coming from that. Like the new big acts that have like arisen in the last 3 to 4 years, not been Def Jam artists. They've been, you've got Cardi B, Atlantic. You got like even your Kodak Blacks and your Lil Yachty's and your Migos and. They're all coming from these other labels.
Well, no. See, I think Atlantic's probably got a stronghold on all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
So I don't know.
I say pull up their roster, and then I could tell you.
We
don't have enough time
for that. They have a very long roster. But I heard he's stepping down. I'm like, oh, okay.
Who?
I heard he's stepping down. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. It was nice while it lasted. He collected a couple, $500,000, half a million dollar.
Oh, so checks. You're relating it to the fact that they're not doing as well as they should be doing.
I think so.
In regards to,
I think so.
Hot new artists.
And I can kind of see why he took the position. You know, coming in as Eminem's manager, one of the biggest superstars on the planet. And who also at this point is like a legacy act that is still continuously putting out music as
you just. Is that Ariana Grande on there? Something like that? No?
I don't think she's on it. I don't think Ariana Grande. They have Justin Bieber. He's Def Jam.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think. I think that's maybe one of the reasons why he got the job. Like, yo, do what you did for Eminem. For them.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah. This is why they hire you.
Yeah.
I don't think he was able to successfully do that. I think,
and it's very difficult to replicate that.
Oh, you know? Yeah, 100%. I think Eminem was a what's the phrase? I'm drawing a blank on. I think he was a lightning in a bottle in a lot of ways.
And also, you know, take into consideration where he was and who he was under.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That plays a big part.
Yeah,
you can't just pull one individual and be like, all right, well, yeah. You know, he was his manager, so automatically he can, you know.
Yeah, but. You know, depending on your gift to gab, you can swing that in an interview or however that works. You're sitting down with
somebody sitting in a room thinking like, yo, that's the guy we need.
Yeah.
It's like, more or less.
It's like fucking Steve Stout in the Knicks. Huh? Like putting Steve Stout in charge of rebranding the Knicks.
Okay. We don't have too much time. Rebranding in what sense? If the Knicks is... It's not branding that they need.
Thank you.
It's not branding.
I know.
Steve Stout could be the fucking...
He can get in the best-looking jerseys on the planet. First of all, in my personal opinion, the last thing the Knicks need is rebranding. Because the Knicks, like, promotion and everything, and, like, just the idea of you being in New York and you being at the Garden and everything... All that shit sells itself anyway.
Exactly. That's why the Garden stays intact.
The Knicks have no problem selling basketball tickets ever, and they exactly. never have. The problem with the Knicks is that they suck as a team.
Thank you.
Every other department in the organization outside of the coaching staff and player staff is doing great. It's the players and coaches. And unless Steve Stout has gotten really good at playing NBA 2K. He cannot do a damn thing to change that roster.
Yeah, look,
and he actually slipped up and said, "Oh yeah, we're making changes in the organization." And the Knicks had to go and send out an email.
Get out of here!
Right, followed after him like Steve Stout. That nigga don't speak for us. Like everyone, your job is fine.
He's changing the logo, if nothing else. Huh?
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, no, there will not be any institutional change. He's not speaking for us. I don't know what he's talking
about. That really happened?
That really happened.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, yo, you know what? Big up to Steve for getting another check. I'll tell you that much.
Get that money.
I'm happy for him in that regard.
But get another check.
I don't think that's the last thing they need.
They need
a great marquee player.
That sounds like escapism to me. It's like, yo, we can't figure out what's wrong. Let's rebrand. Right.
Let's try everything except this.
Yeah.
We couldn't get Zion, so.
Yeah. We're out of time, so.
Are you good prediction?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got 2 seconds.
I don't have one.
No weekly prediction.
No weekly predictions.
Steve Stout's new logo is gonna look good.
I would say maybe that Meek Mill's new song with Justin Timberlake won't rise up in the charts. Maybe it won't.
I like that record.
I don't think it'll do numbers.
I haven't heard it. Unfortunately,
I don't think it's going to do numbers. So that's my.
Is it a good record?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so that's what it is.
This has been the Freshest Podcast, and we're out. Peace.
More music. Less drama. Freshest FM.